It's at 9?
So do we go?
You're live again.
Okay, so hello and welcome to this week of Oakley Linux User Group. Today is Thursday, November 13th, and we are without internet again.
Just so nobody's listening to us right now.
Just because we like it. We like it without internet like that.
We're old school.
That's right.
We are old school, yes.
Internet's for losers.
Where is the...
Yes. Actually, what we like to do, we like to take the packets and we like to hand deliver them. That's what we do here. Because if you want to be a real man, that's what you do. That's exactly. So shall we do our two minutes of fame?
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
All right, I'll start off. My name's Gary.
Recovering Windows user?
Yeah, I guess something on that order. But I installed the new Ubuntu. Actually went pretty good. Nothing, no big hang-ups or anything. So I was getting my programs up and going and stuff. And I got everything working, except that my PDF files don't seem to work right. I don't know what the deal is, but... try to open it, but it opens for an instant and then it just shuts. There's no information there.
In the worst case, you could install Adobe Acrobat Reader.
They got a Linux version of that?
That's right.
Oh, they do. Okay, I'll try that. Because I was using like that Ebiance.
Yes. It works for me, that Ebiance, so whatever.
Yeah, it worked for my old one. You know, my old Linux worked just fine, so I don't know what I got. Must have something set up wrong, but... then I played a little bit with that... XBMC, Xbox Media Center. That's kind of cool. The only thing that confuses me is when you're playing a video back, the sound is way out of line with what's going on in the movie, and they got this audio offset. You know, it's a time adjustment thing. Why do they choose to do that?
That must have been something you set up.
It's an equation.
Yeah, but if they play it in VLC or one of those other ones, it works perfect.
I've seen that too. Some programs are just off. I have a video clip that plays perfectly in Windows. I played it nice and off by 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't even in the ball game. It's
yeah.
That game is still pretty buggy. Yeah, I think that's not actually running in the Xbox.
Oh, you think that's part of the deal, huh?
It's, yeah.
So, but anyway, I thought that was interesting, so... So I just, that's it, I think, as far as, you know, that kind of
thing. So far, I'm happy with the 8.10?
Yeah, there's some improvements in there that, I think, you know, there's more stuff, and it's, I like it, yeah.
Cool.
But, you know, I moved up from, I think mine was back from, it might have been 3 releases ago.
7.4? 7.10?
Gusty, was that the...
I think Gutsy. Gutsy, but
Gutsy is 7.10.
7.10.
It'll be a year old then. Gutsy won't learn that. Maybe not though. But yeah, it wouldn't update on its own. If you hit the update button, it got a big error.
It's just too old.
Yeah, which kind of surprised me. But anyway, that's my doings for the week.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
What about you guys?
Oh, yeah, well, I actually gave Myron a little program called Regex Coach, which is a nice little thing. If anybody wants it, I have it on a stick here, and you can take it. It has a very good tutorial for it. It's a little program where you put a particular string in, and then a sample in, and then you experiment with Regex expressions, and it shows you what you're actually able to pull out of that.
And
then the other thing I fooled around with was something called TiddlyWiki. Anybody run across that yet?
No.
I'm throwing that out so that some of you can play with it, and then I can ask you questions about making it work. It's basically a wiki as a single HTML file, and it has what it calls shadow wikis
that are
not actually visible, but they help you manipulate the wiki system. And actually, it appears that eventually you would be able to...
I don't think the library...
It's a local HTML file to start out with. But they have plugins which I think ultimately enable you to access it through HTTP and still, you know, do wiki things with it. It actually is quite complicated. I haven't quite got to the point because you need to have a password plugin and a HTTP plugin and then upload plugin and so on and so forth. And I haven't quite figured out.
It's to make your own wiki system.
You would have a wiki system and you have to save it through their system. You can't use a save from your browser. But once you get that file completed, you can email it or FTP it anywhere you want. And it looks like it's got some potential. It's called TiddlyWiki. I think you can get it at TiddlyWiki.org.
Well, yeah, we use that at my work, and we actually use that pretty exclusively on other projects.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it looks like a really substantial thing. It's just I think it's got a bit of a learning curve. You know, you're going to have to learn.
It's just very straightforward, and you do what it says, and it doesn't work.
Well, yeah.
It's nice you can run off the thumb drive and other things like that, too. You don't need a whole...
Right. And I'm looking at it as a potential solution for being able to pass around shopping lists off of our local server so that we don't have to remember to... Everything we wanted to take with us, we can, while we're at the store, go to the little home server and take the shopping list, and also as a central repository for bookmarks, so that whatever browser I'm using or whatever computer I'm on, I'd be able to use the same set of bookmarks from. So it looks like it could work for that.
The only thing that's great for that thing. The only thing what I want to say is that there are bases. And you see that actually the screen is shaking and makes the projector out of focus.
There's no crossover.
Nice basis.
Kind of substantial, isn't it?
So did you? What was it? Was
Regex Coach?
Coach.
Here, what you can do, Lois, is I think this will work on your system. Just put it in and untar it, and it has a binary in there.
I just wonder if there is, to put it in a...
People see what it is. Just untar that, and there will be an executable file along with the tutorial. And then, you know what you're trying to get. It's really quite a nice thing. I mean, the tutorial takes you step by step through some very complex concepts.
So this guy here?
That's it.
Now mine does that. Why is that happening?
It's too touchy.
Do you have
those
hair?
I'd like to have different view.
Okay, sure.
Was it
smooth?
Yes.
Do you need another drink
right away
there?
No, we're good for a while, yeah.
I need to,
We have to preserve one driver here.
No, I don't want to encrypt. I click on encrypt.
Oh.
I didn't want to encrypt. I wanted to unmount. Okay.
Just double click it. Don't you have that? You should be able to just double click it.
I want to unmount it.
Right, double click it and it'll open up in your utility. Won't it?
Oh.
On mine, all I have to do is.
Oh, I know.
There you go.
I know. I wanted to unmount your drive.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Sorry.
It's called music, but that's just because, I don't know, I used to have music on it at one point, I guess.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cool. How are you?
I'm ecstatic.
With?
With this new version.
So stuff works?
I got it downloaded finally on a better place and installed it. I downloaded Adobe Flash Player, which I could not do before. I downloaded Movie Player, which I could not do before. And it's so easy, even I could do it. I mean, I didn't have to do nothing. You click on something, it says, do you want to download these add-ons? Yes. Get some. Do you want to install them? Click yes. Done. Now we're talking,
Is your wireless working?
No, not yet. I haven't even looked at it yet. I've been monkeying with this other stuff. Okay. If my wireless goes as easy as that, hallelujah,
Yes.
But even if it don't, this other stuff is good. Now I wouldn't be afraid to, put on my kid's computer and say, here, before, if they got stuck, screwed. So, it, you know, this is going to be a real competition for Microsoft. The old version, that was, I mean, you had to be a real computer guy for that thing. But this year is just for anybody, you know.
So you think it's getting to regular people's
ability.
Mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. This is the one. You know,
The only thing, you know, you're saying for your kids, if they need a new computer, I would say instead of actually installing it, instead of buying a computer at a Best Buy and then installing that on, I think the better route is to actually install a computer with a Linux on it. Let's say like to buy it
from Dell.
Or from somewhere there.
Yeah.
Because then you are guaranteed that your hardware is going to work. So like you bought your computer somewhere, whatever.
Yeah, mine's a couple years old.
Yeah.
They were fine, but there's a brand new one. They got less than 6 months old, that computer. So they're Dells. Yeah.
Yeah, you have an issue with the wireless and...
that's more my understanding of how to use the computer probably than anything else, you know. Mm-hmm. Understanding Ubuntu, you know.
Yeah.
But now with the GUI is perfect, you know. Can't do nothing wrong. The only thing is once in a while, I don't know what I do. I don't know what happens. So you just move your hand or something, and she's gone. And it's out of Firefox. It's everything. It's just gone. It's done.
Yeah. Sometimes it's actually when it's too touchy.
What's too touchy?
Let's say like what I was doing. So my touchpad was too touchy.
Oh, yeah. You mean the program closes, or the whole?
Yeah, the whole thing just goes. I'll be in a.
Does it ask you?
No. It just gone, and I'm back to the Ubuntu, the main page, the login page. Yeah, Firefox is gone, and my whatever website was on.
Control Alt Backspace.
Yeah,
that'll kill your X server. It'll reboot into, or it'll restart into a login screen.
Yeah, when something you're going to just happen.
Yeah, that would. You know, this is just. You know, if I'm clicking on something or pressing enter, it just bam, she's gone.
So,
but it's not all the time.
So
it's occasionally.
So you don't get anything like this.
No.
Then it goes through the black screen, and then here I have let's say like second screen.
No,
so you don't.
I don't get that far back. It goes to the login first page. You know, it's really weird.
Yeah, I don't have that.
And sometimes I can go on the. On the touchpad, it's back. And the next time, can't bring it up. You know,
because I just had to wait.
Huh?
Just had to be patient.
Oh. Well, and it wouldn't have.
Byron, what are you doing?
Gone completely dead.
I'm trying to set up a static IP address.
Oh,
Robert.
I was going to say I checked the status page and there was a network or there was an IP address.
Well, what did I do? I didn't do too much last week, I don't think so.
I did the newsletter, that's got to take some time.
I did. But I do the newsletter all the time, so there's nothing special for me.
Well, I appreciate you putting that thing together.
Nothing special to you.
I read it.
Well, I'm happy that people read it.
It's special to us. You want to make sure how many people read it on the internet?
I think some. You know, and the longer the website is up, I think that more and more people actually stumble upon and come back. We have in a day, we have about 150 visitors, unique visitors.
Is it going up?
It's not going that much up. It's sort of, you know, from 130 to 150 unique a day. You know.
Depends on the weather.
It depends on weather, yes. Absolutely.
Mark is checking for more.
Well,
probably has a lot.
You're dead.
No, I just need to switch the
people who link to us because that increases your ranking in Google.
No.
If what?
You know, it's funny. You do a search for Eau Claire users group, and you still come up with that picture when we were sitting in that back room. I remember who had that. You know that.
Yeah,
it's still, it's like the third entry that comes up, and it's, you know, it was the middle
best.
Last winter, I think, we did that.
It was, it's the best. Why it is, because it was on a YouTube, and it's well indexed. That's all what it is.
Yeah.
So, well, that was about it.
Okay.
How about you?
I went to my class. We're working on our final project for my network design, installation, and troubleshooting class, which is basically building a data center. We're going to have three racks in a closet, basically. Each rack is going to be a separate location or whatever. We'll have, I remember different WAN connections between each. I think one's going to be, just different WAN connections between the racks. And we were going to try and do some virtualized servers.
Good. Give us the news.
So what did you do this week?
What did I do? He's not done.
No. Yes. I'm sorry. Me bad.
Napster good.
Napster good.
Were you connected?
Should be. It says it was.
It says. Was it because you were close to a router?
Shouldn't have anything. I did nothing.
You know, I wonder. You know,
it's the cable got me. The cable.
I connect to Lasis and update. It still says BHCP.
I only got it to work one time, so cable.
Well, I'll check.
I'm connected to Lasis and Lasis router.
Right.
And it's
not a cable.
Tester. Well, why don't we just get a new cable then?
It's a long cable.
Well, yes. Next week I'll
use my cable box. A static IP in the router though.
I tried messing with that. I wasn't able to get it to work, and then I set it back to DHCP and it worked. Temporarily.
Man.
Well, I'm getting all kinds of things. I got an IP address. I have to get a good signal, but I don't have a DNS server yet.
What kind of cable is it? What, just like you plug it?
Yeah.
You know, I think that for today, because you have the stuff up, I think you are going to get a projector.
I don't have your website up.
You open a window and you walk in there and get a website.
Well, you got the newsletter, don't you?
You can connect to that. Actually, you know what? We could probably hold this. One person can have network.
But it's not long enough.
There.
It is not long enough.
How is that good? That's not going to work.
Yeah, because it will work as a regular switch.
Just put it in your Ethernet port.
At least it should. It should connect using a separate subnet.
All right.
It will never be enough.
If we do... Yeah, that should
work. We're on hyperdrive.
Hyperdrive?
I don't know.
You might have to turn off the
DHCP. You'll have to unplug that link from the uplink and plug it into the switch side.
I'm connected.
Actually, you might have to disable the DHCP server, but other than that, it should work.
No, because it's still behind the net. From the uplink port is netted to the switch.
It's not plugged into the uplink port.
Oh,
it's plugged into...
No, I do have stuff.
You do have
it?
Yep, okay.
You got internet?
Yeah. Really good. No phone. No.
You sure don't.
I don't have stuff.
Give me another 5 minutes, I'll have
that. Okay, let's
find try changing the default gateway to the router.
So this one,
make the default gateway 1.1.
So
the whole point of my story had been that I convinced them to do virtualization in Ubuntu Server with VMware rather than Server 2003.
Very nice.
So
we got away from that Zen.
Nope, he's still in Zen, which I
tell him if you
want
VMware's
today,
ESXi
what the hell is
server. That's nice. 5 minutes.
What is it?
ESXi server. Is that a free server?
It's free.
It's free.
Yes.
Doesn't have all the bells and whistles. You're limited to like 6 CPUs and I don't know how many VMs, but
8 gigs
of RAM.
Only 8 gigs of RAM.
It's
kind of limited.
All he wants is
I don't know if I would use it.
Times.
No VM also. And that's expensive.
He's using Zen, you said?
using Xen.
Yeah, we have, and we have a license for Xen 4.0, or well, the free version of Xen that will do that, because the newer version of Xen doesn't allow you to share.
I kind of like
Xen. It was a long time ago that it was still 32-bit. Right now, I can't get 32-bit.
Yeah, well, it's the original user, so I can't get it.
Not working?
I didn't have the 64-bit.
I think it's the wire, because if I plug it into my laptop, I can get it. But if it's plugged into the router, I can get it anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, bring me a
new wire thing right here.
Yeah.
$35, you can get 100 feet.
No, not even.
Not even that much? Or what? I just bought a 100 footer.
I've got a box that's probably about 300 feet long.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're trying to do right now. This should work at a email adapter as well.
Is there a good photo program in Linux that you can download that anybody knows about? Or,
the
GIMP?
What photo? A photo album?
Yeah, like you've got a DVD with photos, do you want to monkey with them, change them and this and that? Huh?
If you want to manipulate his GIMP. If you want to have it as an album, then Picasa.
If you want to go in and crop photos, Red Eye, simple stuff, I would get from Picasa or just use UpSpot. The GIMP is, I mean, you're going
to... GIMP might be overkill.
The GIMP is overkill for...
Well, learning curve is extreme.
Picasa, huh?
Google is a Google program. It runs in Wine, so it's not a true Linux program, but they have a Ubuntu file that you point click to install it. And it works pretty well. So.
Yep. The other one was DigiCam. I don't care too much for it, but some people like it.
That's pretty simple. I only had that just got I think I had problems with it because I wanted to have too much
control over my directory
names and this stuff. And it's one of those things where you can just let it do what it wants to do and you...
That's changed now.
It works fine. Yeah.
If you're talking about the GIMP, it's not being able to do CMYK.
GIMP now?
I heard somebody say that.
Yeah, it was me.
The newest version, they did make updates to it. They've got the beginnings of CMYK and other color spaces, including 32-bit RGB color as well.
So S-Plot is actually the default floor manager. The album, floor album.
Okay. Now, you're using that Evolution Mail, you said, right?
I'm using Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, okay. Yes. So, I just was messing around with Gmail, Google.
Yes.
They got everything. I mean...
And I'm running Gmail through Thunderbird.
Through Thunderbird?
Yes.
The Gmail's web-based, though.
Yeah, but whenever it comes up. You can actually set up that the Thunderbird will query your Gmail mailbox.
Well, and that was Evolution Mail does the same thing, right, or not?
They don't seem to have as good a junk filter, do they? On the Evolution, I could never figure it out.
Use Thunderbird.
It's Thunderbird. Easier.
What's going to be the advantage if I use Thunderbird instead of just using Google Mail? What do I gain?
I use Google Mail, if you just want to read emails, send emails.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
If you log in to a Gmail, they will put a cookie on your computer.
Yeah.
And that cookie will never go away. And they will know wherever you go, even though you are not logged in.
That's why you set your browser to delete cookies.
Even though I said that, it still kept the cookie.
What browser are you using?
Firefox.
Use Opera.
Opera works.
Opera will delete cookies.
Opera will. But Firefox, for whatever reason, because they have the advertising contract.
If you're going to be paranoid, don't use Google.
If
you don't mind it, then...
That's about it. Right?
It depends. Paranoid to certain points.
Deleting cookies isn't going to save you from anything. There's nothing that's going to do
it. It'll save you from the internet.
They're trying to find you better.
You don't get fed without cookies. That's all.
Delicious. There's always cheesecake.
There's always a cheesecake.
There's always Dev Null.
Yeah, yeah. So you can actually have it set up that I have multiple accounts there. So
at Google?
Yeah, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4 Gmail mailboxes. So then that would be actually your advantage.
It'll take all three of them and bring them into Thunderbird.
It brings it into Thunderbird and you have it there. Okay. So that's where you don't have to interact.
I just forward my Yahoo mail to my Gmail and my phone calls.
Yeah. Well, Google says they'll go and get your AOL mail or whatever for you, too. I don't know if that works. I never tried it. But
that's I have a Yahoo mail account I've had forever, and I just run all the Google now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want your eyes fixed to the Google site. Is
right,
what they want.
Yeah.
They can read your email and put a special app on it.
No, actually, I did that. That's why I have a glass eye, because my second eye is actually Google on the screen. Just to satisfy Google's requirement,
you know. Yeah, they couldn't sell me anything in a million years anyhow, so I don't give a damn what ad they put on there, as long as it ain't obnoxious, you know.
Yeah.
AOL, and you want to get obnoxious.
It's
yeah.
It's like we're using Yahoo because
there's
just flashing stuff.
Yeah.
All what you need to do is to have this little guy here, you know, that's AV blocker,
mm-hmm.
And then here down here, it's no scripts, and you are safe.
Oh, yeah?
It doesn't jump. It doesn't do anything.
No, that's on what?
Yeah,
on Firefox.
On
Firefox?
Doesn't do anything. That's not.
So you want
it to jump. Half the sites you go to don't do anything. Like anything.
Yeah. So, problem?
Depends on
the way it is.
Well, if you trust the site.
But if you want to block it.
What do you do is then you are saying, oh, this doesn't work, I still want to see it. Then you go down there and say, temporary allow, and then you are done. Oh, if you say, oh, I like this website, so I'm going to put it on whitelist. After some time, you train it, you know, and wherever you go on a website, you don't know, so you don't trust it first.
Yes, I think so.
Yep. He's trying. He's doing it good.
Who? How about you? You can have your 2 minutes right now. Start.
I haven't been too much exciting. Install Intrepid. Been working pretty good until about 3 hours ago. Installed some specific Dell package on my laptop and it totally killed my wireless internet and some other things. I did buy a bunch of stuff from Canonical and so I left some stickers. They want to put Canonical stickers or Lucas stickers on their laptops or
very nice.
So how was hooking up your wireless? Was that hard or?
It was fine until 3 hours ago.
I mean, the installation is what I'm trying to.
Pretty good. I think I still kind of want to just start from scratch again. And there's some couple of issues, but overall pretty good.
Here you go, sir.
Give it an 8 out of 10.
Huh?
8 out of 10.
Oh.
Yeah. I would say that I like this release much better than
8.4. Yeah, I'm also running 64 bits, so sometimes it's a little iffy, especially Flash still.
Really? I haven't had any problems with Flash in 64 bits.
I've actually had better luck in 64 bits.
I've had better luck, definitely. Well, 32, but yeah. That's what I think.
Actually, I have better luck with 64-bit over the 32-bit. Like, the 32-bit, well, I'm using Fedora, but the 32-bit release has got a lot more bugs than the 64-bit release, actually.
Is this a stick on a window on a car?
Yeah, I think so.
Go for it.
Window plane?
Put it right on the screen.
I'll put that on my side window. I think I got ADT or something. You know, the security. They won't break in.
Byron will take some.
I can't even touch them. I'll spontaneously combust.
I gave you Fedora stickers, so.
I like the gel sticker. Where did you get all of these?
I ordered Canonical.
You ordered them?
Yeah. I just really wanted a...
How much did it go?
It was a keychain, but like shipping was like $25. I order everything on their...
because it was coming from overseas.
Yeah.
$25 for shipping?
No, and it was pretty expensive. It was like $15.
Jesus.
And anything over about $1 is expensive.
They're from shipping. UK or something.
Oh, so they came from England then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
exotic countries.
I thought they'd have had a
trial. I got my order.
So where is Canon? Well, I thought it was in the...
It is...
Australia?
No, England? It's in Great Britain. Yeah, Britain.
I've got a small keychain and lanyard.
You're official.
Apparently.
Did you get your decoder ring?
I didn't. I invited the whole team. And I'm alive.
Oh, what?
You know, the stone throw, during December, the second floor, there's a...
Do you have the ones that's red or blue on the entire floor?
No, but it's like labeled, so it's all lit up.
Oh.
It's like on the...
Oh, from a Christmas story.
Yeah. See that one, so.
You can actually get them leg lamps?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, I'm sure you can.
Cool.
That's 100 and some bucks, by the way.
My wife and I have one of them.
Cool. How about you, Adam?
I don't know what I do Linux this week. I saved 5 gigs of drive space on my laptop using FSLink. I put a bunch of duplicate photos and a bunch of other backup files that I made. Consolidated it.
That's a lot of what you've done. You deleted Vinyl Blitzer's movie. Yes.
I made enough room to put an OPS or open source movie. But other than that, I did install into the studio at home, planning to play with that with the audio apps a little bit. I kind of quit doing this up on my laptop, even though there's a dual core and finding the desktop is much more fun to play with a large monitor when you're dealing with mixers and sliders and stuff all over. So, Mid 6 has my eye. So.
Which one?
Mid 6. Beta, yeah. They have a new feature, website blocker app they built, which is pretty simplistic, but the.
He likes what they
are blocking. Yeah, they were blocking www.microsoft.com, the example they showed us. For the parental website blocker. Of course, the example they use, they block Microsoft. In good humor. But, I don't know, because I had that. Maybe they're going to just
I don't know. I'm
always changing the thing. I've got you.
The bath is pretty.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a well-kept man.
Oh, yeah.
That's
spokesman for hair care products.
For who?
Some hair care. Nexus or one of
those. Actually, I would say that 8.10 is probably well-received unless you want to run Mithubuntu. And there were some issues with Mithubuntu.
Yeah, like
you
said,
the
media server.
Excuse me?
Is that
the media server? It's Myth TV.
Oh, okay.
Myth Ubuntu is just the Kubuntu version of Myth Ubuntu?
It's
the KDE version?
No, it's pre-done Myth TV with Ubuntu as a back end of it. So,
just like Mythdora is the Myth with the Fedora back end.
Yes.
You know, when they say like an audio streamer is built on some platform or something, you see that all the time. It's built.
GStreamer?
Yeah, GTK streamer or something. It seems like they're always saying it uses this.
It's just whatever it's using in a bag.
Okay.
What it means. It doesn't mean anything to you as far as regular users. Unless you're out of programming. Yeah.
I was considering installing Fedora 10, but it changed the right
path. It's good. I'm telling you. You'd never stick with the defaults anyway. You know that.
Oh no, I'm getting too lazy. I'm trying to.
I was just kind of bummed they took the Echo icons out. I mean, they're a little cartoony, but eventually, I don't know. That was
you can probably still download them.
You can get them. Yeah. Normal looking
Well, they probably have a package for it. I mean, if it was one of their release candidates.
Yeah, if you go look for the Echo icon thing, like I said, they're really hard to look at. They're actually done with a project in mind, so it's a complete set of icons. Sometimes it could be a set of icons.
Four icons that don't match with anything.
Yeah. These actually look pretty good.
Fedora.
You know, if I would have known that, I would have brought you a sticker of Fedora too. But I gave it all away.
Yeah, my Fedora sticker's getting kind of old. Look at that, wear and tear.
So what that sticker what I gave you?
I haven't used it yet. I'm waiting until I put the new version on.
Then it's going to be over there.
Put it on the bottom.
Going to smoke?
Yeah.
Love that.
Very bad. You want to
get
my bill for
me? Yeah, absolutely. I'll bring that pop there too for you.
Okay.
What should we do? Does somebody have any discussion, any topic? Air product person?
I was very disappointed with my class today. They were nearly unwilling to use any open source products or anything. They wanted to virtualize Linux and Novell on top of Microsoft Server 2003.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know why. People thought I was injured.
No, that's true. a lot of the things it is what people are used to. You know, they are used to XYZ, and they're saying, well, we need to have another operating system. Well, we are school, we are going to pay another license, so, well, maybe we will get a Linux there.
Linux can't be a
school. Well, another thing is a lot of your classmates, if you're like my classmates, they were gamers. That's all they know. They went into the computer side because, I like playing games.
Plus, he adds on TV. You see that?
And I don't walk over.
University of Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's like, who do you like
right? Games.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some good guys. And there's some guys who really know their stuff. And there's some guys who really know their stuff. But they, I get a lot of comments. Like, I just want something that's going to work. I just want to do it. But Linux can be good.
Windows always work.
Microsoft Hypervisor is actually
good. I like that.
Microsoft Hypervisor? I didn't know Microsoft had their own Hypervisor.
Is it virtual?
Is the hypervisor what they are giving you the coupon for Novell? Is that their hypervisor?
I don't know. I've heard pretty good things about it from people who love it.
Didn't they just buy that?
I
put their own
brand on it?
Because I think, didn't that come from virtual PC, and then they just rebranded it and now they're selling it?
That could be.
So that's probably why it's good. Wait until they added a whole bunch of Microsoft extensions, it'll go downhill quick, just like everything else.
What is this? Embrace?
Embrace, extend, extinguish, or exterminate. Your choice. Microsoft's business model.
Embrace,
extend.
Yeah, you bet.
It's really EEEPC.
Yeah, EEE.
Pretty good.
You were here without Android?
I was getting itchy because I didn't
know how to update it. So you felt like your hand was gone.
It's Android separation anxiety.
Oh. I like that new page on the Linux, you know, when you open up the new desktop, you know. It's just clean and clear, and you know, it's way better than the other one. And it's just a default, just whatever came up. I didn't monkey with it. That's another plus.
But it's still brown, you know. So that's minus.
You know what they can keep is that stupid picture. The intrepid Ibex. I mean, you look at that thing, it's like what?
All that brown, whatever the hell. It looks like a tabletop.
The more brown,
who
better.
Who picks those? Is that the Richard Stallman?
They paid somebody a lot of money for that.
Whoever picks them has got to be colored blind, I'll tell you that.
It's the branding thing. Yeah.
But I mean, it'd be nice if you could figure something out of it. You could almost see some kind of an outline there or something.
It's the Android phone, and if you type reboot, it would reboot the Android phone.
What company is Android? Who is what is that? Android.
Google,
yeah, that's their software.
Yeah, it's LG, is it or not?
Yeah, but it's Android is the software, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Tell us more about Android.
I got some new apps for it. I don't know.
No, tell us more about it. Like the, give us the general overview and then go into specifics.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Actually, what it is, it's
a phone operating system based on Linux, but it's open source. So you can, Google is sponsored, I believe.
Yes.
Most of it. So you can go to Google and get the source code.
Yes.
Write your own applications for it.
I think there was a toolkit just this week released.
The update to it or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And that's the LG phone?
It's not LG.
It's T-Mobile. It's an HTC phone.
Never heard of it.
HTC?
HTC is the maker of the handset.
Like Thailand.
Yeah.
They build them all overseas like everything else.
Oh, yeah.
But in and of itself, it's another phone operating system. What makes a difference is it's open source. I think every other day there's 5 or 6 new applications that show up into the marketplace.
So how often do you have to reboot it?
I haven't rebooted it in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's so weak.
And I have had it for a couple of weeks.
I thought that you are going to compete with the Windows Mobile.
I used to have a Windows Mobile phone, and if I didn't reboot the phone every morning, about halfway through the day, I wouldn't hear any phone calls, and just start, spatting out. Yeah, but this one I haven't. I plug it in at night, I don't even think about it. So it's just kind of a glitch, yeah.
Nice.
I just need to find, they've got the Java programs, Java ME, that you get for your phones. I have an emulator here to play them. So we've got a friend of at Oregon Trail.
Did he
gotta figure out where he got that? He's thinking it might be able to play.
Is he going to die from dysenteries?
Might start early.
What else? No, you just shoot buffalo. There's all sorts of them running around. You can kill like 5 or 6 in one outing.
Depends on where you are. Sometimes they're never.
As long as you don't break an axle and have to spend the winter in the home.
Yeah. No, you don't shoot anything unless it's a buffalo.
Tip your weight in the with you and the server.
That's what we always did. We just went out buffalo. We shot like 10 or 12 of them. We couldn't carry the meat, but we didn't care. It was about shooting the buffalo.
What was your name there? Buffalo Bill?
Something like that, yeah.
No, it's, the thing I like most about it is, I do use Google for email, contacts, and everything. And when I got this, I punched in my username, password, and I had all 3 calendars I subscribed to on my phone instantly. All my contacts are there, my emails, and I didn't even have to. I hardly use the browser to go to Google anymore, but it's all in my phone.
Wow.
You sold your soul to Google.
Something Google built. And I don't know if it works.
Is that the Chrome?
It doesn't say. I don't know. It doesn't have Flash in it, though, so I can't cover that.
I think that's the idea. That's why they have Chrome to actually create the ecosystem.
It has its own YouTube player, so I know it can play Flash.
Thank God.
You need to see more dogs chasing the tail. That's very important.
YouTube isn't necessarily Flash,
though.
They have 2 different formats for, like, on phones. They don't actually play video using Flash. They use some other format.
I'm not streaming out.
Yeah, they stream it out in a different format. I don't know if that's it. It's not a Flash applet at all. If they actually stream a video, the phones are able to play.
The nature of the beast.
But I don't have any more information on it than that.
We don't have 3G cell service here, which is the faster data service for cell phones. So this all travels over the slow.
So it's probably
GPRS, I think, in this area. So
yeah, it's like.
So you can get data service, but it's painfully slow. What you need to do is hook it up to a Wi-Fi hotspot or something.
If you look real close, you can see the bits going out of it. They're going out.
Yeah, it's like that's a hand delivering of the packets.
They go flying off. You can kind of see them coming.
Yeah, at least it works.
That's something like downloading stuff on my satellite at home. 3 kilobytes per second.
That's a little
slow. 3K?
Yeah. I've been looking up these. I've been installing satellite phones in hospitals on this project I've been working on the last couple of weeks, and their data connection is like 19K. I thought that was pretty terrible.
19 big K? Little bytes?
3K is slow, I'll tell you.
Yeah, 19,200.
Yeah, that's a standard kilobit byte, 19.2. I see that all the time in electronics.
It's 19 kilobit. Okay. A baud is a bit or
something. I'm just,
Wow, that's really slow, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a lot of
3G service. Yeah, because 56K is like dial-up, or that's, they didn't ever get that, but that's a big
part. Well, the FCC regulates it and says that you can only achieve speeds of 52K.
On a 56K system.
They always got the little asterisk. The FCC says...
Yeah. Shall we go on the newsletter?
Sure.
Did somebody read anything?
Project stuff, I think.
There was actually a few articles about Songbird, so they are going to have a 1.0 release. Did somebody read that?
Surprisingly, they're using it, actually.
Are you using it?
I use it on Windows, actually, but surprisingly good.
Did they get under a gig or so of memory? Said you have to
go. You don't know. He's using it on Windows.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, I've got a 6 gig machine at home, but it's still bothering me to start it up.
I think you need to go for re-education in here more often.
Like $70.
Can you play Og?
No.
That was a inside joke.
Yeah, I get it. Songbird is pretty solid software. It's surprisingly good for
Well, if you think about it, Songbird was in development. I would say this is already second year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Even that, it's pretty solid for 2 years.
Yeah. I like it that it's cross-platform. So you get it on Windows or Mac or Linux, and it behaves the same.
It's going to be Banshee,
yes. So there are quite a few articles about that. There was something about that Mahi. I guess Adam was trying a Mahi, so somebody wrote the article about it. Did you read it?
I shut down my Mahi service.
Oh, see, the Mahi is due for this today.
Mahi's out.
Yep, that's out. Next distribution.
Okay, we were talking about that that somebody's found what's the name of it?
BITIVIO.
Somebody is giving money to developers to develop this some funding. Okay, somebody's funding PVT or PTV.
PTV.
PTV. So
it's a, or something.
It's the name is Colabra.
TV.
And. Somehow there was a connection between Colabra and GStreamer. They are contributing a lot to GStreamer.
Yep.
I don't know actually what is the Colabra's business model, but that's what they are doing.
That's not a linear video, I think.
It means that you can take a video and you chop it up into pieces, you drag the pieces into a timeline and play it through. So, I don't know. I downloaded it to take a look at it. It needs some funding.
Yeah,
I wasn't really impressed. I wasn't really impressed.
Well, it started about 1.5 years ago.
Yep.
And I would say, this spring it was still very much on a board,
now,
drawing board.
Here's the funny thing. Now this, I just absolutely cannot figure out what the heck happened here. I looked at some of the old screenshots. It had the features that it needs to make it better. And then they took out the features, like multi-tracks. They took out the ability to have multiple tracks. Like, why on earth would you do that? What are you thinking? I mean, that's...
Maybe it didn't work.
I don't know. But, I mean, any good non-linear video editor has to have multiple tracks so you can mix the tracks together. And it only has a single track.
When we talk about video editors, there was an article about KDN Live.
That actually has a new beta out. I'm just going to download the code. It is out.
Because
I looked up today.
It got out.
I looked at it on Tuesday.
It's 7.0 or 0.7.
The only annoying thing with that is it doesn't have any Fedora packages, so I got to download my source and recompile it, including some of the dependencies, because the dependencies don't have Fedora packages either.
And dependencies are probably on KDE.
MLT. That's the library that they use to actually do the video editing itself.
Okay.
Like, that's pretty much the API for doing the video editing. And then
but you're saying that nobody is actually maintaining MLT. Is that correct?
That's what I pretty much got from the last time I looked at it. But
because when I...
Live came out with a new version, so somebody must be doing something with it.
Because when I look in a changelog in point two, they actually switched to MLT, so it didn't come up with MLT. So
I don't know. KDN Live is still the best one that I've seen.
If it can render what you want.
If you don't want to use NTSC, and then the second best one I've seen is Open Movie Editor, if you can get that to work right.
That's the one that's made by big production company uses.
Blender?
Main Actor?
Yeah,
that one, there is no Linux version.
There is not a Main Actor.
That was the only...
What's that one they make the movie, the cartoon movies on?
Blender? No, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of it to be...
Did you try to edit something in a Blender? Because Blender is supposed to have...
Blender does have video editing as well.
Yeah, it does have video,
It's not really a full package like the other video editors. You pretty much have to make a directory structure that's got all your videos in the right format, and then Blender can read them in and edit it. I haven't messed with it. There's a lot of, you know, getting everything set up the right way before you can actually do it. I just haven't taken the time to figure that out.
I mean, I think it's set states still with the video editing. So I'm happy that somebody is employing somebody to work on something.
That
sounds like George Bush's economic plan.
Yeah. Somebody's working.
That was very decisive statement. You think too?
So I don't know. I'm gonna try that KDN Live and see if it's any better. Hopefully, it's good enough that it gets enough following that it gets some more people from the United States, so that they don't break NTSC and think it's a low priority bug for 7 months.
We are not going to have NTSC anymore since.
We'll have NTSC.
Well, what it is, the high definition.
Yeah, the high def.
But it's a 30 frames per second instead of
but
funny thing.
Yeah, but it's still going to be 25 frames a second over there.
Is it?
Yes. But now there's the ATSC, and then there's another one for over in Europe for the high def. Like, they actually took the NTSC has got a 29.97 frames per second. For high def, they actually upped it and they made it into a 30.
Quite an improvement.
You will see quality improvement, but especially for
audio things, though, doesn't it? Like, Al's audio is a little bit quicker.
I think
it depends on what you're actually doing. Like, if you're taking a like a movie. A movie is usually filmed at 24 frames a second.
Yeah. Open source movie.
Anything that's filmed on film is 24 frames a second.
Right.
So then if they're showing it over in Europe, they'll just up it to 25 and stretch the audio.
They'll compress the audio slightly a little bit quicker.
What they'll do here is they'll actually use something called a 3-2 pull down, where it'll actually take the frames and it'll have normal frame, and then an interleaved frame. So they can actually do the conversion between the 24 frames and the 30 frames. And then it keeps the audio, what is it doing? I think it keeps the audio roughly the same. Like if you take one of your DVDs, and if you freeze frame it and go through the frames one by one, you'll have a clear frame, and then you'll have one that's actually got the two frames interlaced together. So you'll have it regular, and then the next one will have lines that go like this. Up. And that's that 3-2 pull down.
That's for a time shift problem, or that's
because your DVD player is 29.97 frames a second, but the video is only 24 frames a second.
And that's why it blurs
together. Right, oh, when it was originally filmed. Yeah, so if they took it and actually played it on 30, everything would go quicker and you'd notice it. They actually do that on like sitcoms and such. To get it to fit into the size, they'll randomly take out frames or they'll play frames twice. And they can add 3 to 4 minutes onto the end
without you knowing.
4 minutes off the end just by doing that.
Just as they could stick more ads to it.
That's interesting. Nice.
Yeah, I like it.
Radio stations.
You like those ads, huh?
If you listen to the Clearwire stations, especially pop music, Clear Channel, especially pop music, like if you listen to the Z100, a lot of the songs will sound higher pitched than the original versions. Because they play them with ad hoc like 120%, so they can play in commercials.
Yeah, I like it. And when you listen to those with MP3 on 128, it sounds perfect.
You can actually do the same thing on Mint TV. You can adjust the playback.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do that for football. I play it at 0.9.
That's what I mean.
If I want to get through something real quick, I'll put it at like 1.2 speed. And actually, you can put it at 2 speed, and you can still get the gist of what's going on if you want to watch it half the time.
Really?
It's really fun watching Bob Ross at 2 times. Oh my goodness!
It's really fun watching Bob Ross.
You know what, son? I honestly think that they film it at that speed and then they have to slow it down for normal people. Especially when he cleans the brush. You know, it's like normally it's like.
Who the hell's Bob Ross?
Are you kidding me?
He's that guy with the big frozen
paint on the afternoon.
He does it in the afternoon.
When I got a Wii console was I went online and downloaded someone created
Bob Ross
Mii. I have a Bob Ross Mii on my phone.
Somebody actually watches him?
Oh, yeah.
We record a whole bunch of them.
This thing amazes me is some people buy him.
Oh, man, I don't know how you can suffer through him.
He's a good painter.
Maybe he must be, because I sure don't see it.
And it's entertaining.
It is so entertaining.
Just watch it a couple times, you'll be entertained.
All right. About as much as cooking shows.
They used to have drinking games at a tavern up north. Amanda was telling me, where every time he said happy something, they would take a drink, and they were just wasted by the end of the show.
Yeah, I can believe it, man.
Shall we keep on going?
All right.
Nah, let's just talk about the same things.
The IMAX background.
Yes.
It's my phone.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I knew we were wasting like 20 minutes. But there was some kind of news about WPA stuff. Did somebody read it?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, really?
There's not... It's pretty
obscure.
You have to... First of all, you have to be using WPA1 with TKIP, and then you have to have quality of service turned on, and then they can't actually decipher most packets. They can only decipher short packets. But WPA2 is still fairly secure, or is still secure as far as they know.
Okay. When there's bad there, it's like, that's so bad.
That's too much bad for me.
Yeah, So it's like you use like average version of characters.
Yeah.
Cool. The another thing was the last week I was talking that there was the open week, Ubuntu open week, and I was on IRC. So this is actually pretty much transcript of that IRC conversation. That wasn't between me and him. It was so it was very interesting. So if somebody wants to know where is Ubuntu heading or where the Linux is going to go, because not that Shuttleworth and Canonical has too much. I mean, has some influence. So if one person is doing one thing, then mostly, you know, if other people think that it's good stuff, so they will do that too. So it was pretty interesting. From miscellaneous articles, we have automated processing tools for better digital pictures. Did you read it?
They were fairly simple tools, but there's some good stuff there.
Yeah. There was something about how it reads
Diebold.
This is GPL in free.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was there.
A bunch of George Bush's cronies that run those companies. It is. I watched an independent movie on that. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Just as Georgie would be elected again.
So I didn't actually read this article. I'd heard about this before. Did they say, what exactly did they say?
They are using some kind of library.
GoScript. I know they're using GoScript.
Yes, GoScript. That's what it is all about. GoScript, which...
Why the heck are they using GoScript?
Why they don't license something? Because they don't have money.
And why do you need that on a blockchain?
Because of paper trail.
Oh, like, they're creating their results in PDF form with it. Gotcha.
Okay. But
PDF render.
But if they are,
I can.
You know, they're selling one of those machines for $10,000. Why they are using GoScript, they can, can't they afford to buy a license for whatever is the
Adobe?
Yeah, Adobe?
You wouldn't want Adobe on a voting machine.
I don't know. You know, everything's proprietary there. Everything is locked down and tight, and you even cannot sneeze at it because you'll go to jail.
No, that's exactly right. Their whole software is all, they claim it's proprietary, so
absolutely.
Nobody can see it.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that seems as corrupt as it gets for a public system.
Here's what I always thought.
Just use the paper like I do.
Everybody voted for George W. Bush from the voting machine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you voted for somebody else.
Here's what I always thought. I thought you should have the machine, and then you plug it into three computers. You plug the input into three computers and the output from the three computers. You have one open source, and then you have two companies that you farm it out to. If any one of those comes up with the wrong number, you know who to blame. And that will keep everybody in line. And then you'll have the one open source one that's run by the community that'll probably always be right. And then no worries, because as soon as one is wrong, they'll go after it.
This is paper. This is the only way to go. That's it.
This is what it is. I did vote the first thing at 7 o'clock. When I went there was like half of the block people. It was still not open. When they opened, we got there. I was out of it in 15 minutes. All what you needed to do, you just needed to connect the dots, and you needed to feed the optical scanner.
Here.
Then there are people who were going through those electronics machines. They were saying it was so confusing. They had to go through 7 or 8 screens, and it took the one person 5 minutes to do that.
See, and that's not what I heard about the electronic voting machines from somebody who used them.
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, there's different machines too in different areas.
Yeah. So you know, you have a paper trail, you have an electronic optical scanner. So you know, you have all what you need there. No, it's not expensive. You need only one machine. You know? I mean,
this also is in a major metropolitan area.
But it was pretty fast, you know?
Here, in a non-major metropolitan or non-metropolitan area. But I mean, if you go like to a large city,
yeah,
is it gonna be that quick?
Byron, you could have 30 of those booths to paper on.
Yes.
Yeah, all the feed of two machines as opposed to having
yes.
Probably a $40,000 voting machine.
Yes.
and it takes people longer.
And it's, I don't give a shit what you do with electronics. You're going to be able to corrupt it. Somebody's going to be able to get to it.
Yeah, paper is paper.
You know.
Those old voting machines were pushed through somehow. I can't remember how this thing went, but they were pushed through by, I can't remember what it was. It was some big outfit that had a large financial incentive to use those machines. I mean, to say, hey, Diebold needs these great big fancy $40,000 electronic machines, when in essence you need those little tiny paper readers that don't cost anything.
You know, they might cost you, you know, $5,000 at one, but you need only one per voting booth,
right,
for voting
right
city. So,
in the political world, if you want to make a lot of friends, you know, you hire the company that's going to charge $40,000, and then you get a large kickback.
Yeah. Well, in our
Microsoft Access or something. What? Were a lot of those using like
Microsoft
Access or something? Like, yeah. Where they could just like, you know, plug in a thumb drive and basically hack the whole thing. They're using like Access.
Oh, don't worry, they had an antivirus on them. Nobody took responsibility for it, but it was on there.
Okay, let's keep on going. There was an article about the clip art for Open Office.
They just need some like nice plugin that goes out and gets it from all the websites instead of going out on the website. Oh, I can download three pictures from this package and three from this, because nobody's going to do
that.
No,
there's a site.
Oh, there's a plugin.
There's a plugin that
creates it on clipart.org or something.
Well, that, they've got hundreds.
Well, what's this? Maybe that's what this is.
That it links to that.
It directed you to two websites.
Yeah. But the other thing, there's a thing for, like, WordPress is a popular blog platform software, and there's a plugin for that, which basically you type in keywords, and it'll, you know, you type in this, you know, word, computers or whatever, it'll direct you, it'll bring you a screen that'll give you royalty-free images of things that you're...
But I agree with you that it probably needs to be integrated. It needs to be as a plugin, as a PDF plugin.
Right.
That I want to have an XYZ clip art, so I don't actually have to go to website one.
And you actually need a search, where you can actually search through it.
Yeah, that's what this one does, and that's, I don't know what that is, but...
There was a Wine release. They said it improved memory management. I'm using Wine right now. We're talking about the Build Wizard. So I guess you are going to be using it.
Well, I did. I was going to get that Build Wizard, and it turns out I need like 86 megabytes worth of dependencies in order to use it. So whatever, I let it go, and I never got around to checking it out because that took a little while. But I'm going to try it out eventually and see if I can't get it built.
What does it do? Make your thing look like KDE or what?
Well,
that
builds the KDN Live package for that video editor.
Oh, it's not anything to do with KDE.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the name KDE N Live. Don't ask what it means.
Did I see it's not Wine, but there's a company that builds kind of a customized version of Wine.
Crossover.
Yeah, they're all the cities, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the cities. I forget what the deal was.
Are you talking about the lame duck offer?
Yeah, the lame duck offer.
It was because it was like a year ago, he set like 6 or 7 milestones. So if this ever happens, if Bush can pull his head out of his ass and, you know, pull troops out of Iraq, lower gas prices, do like this and that, there are 5 things, and if you did any one of them, that he would offer
crash the economy,
he would,
wasn't there too.
Yeah.
He achieved that for sure.
He offered
he was working hard on it for 8 years,
crossover,
and finally, he delivered
Windows, Mac, and Linux for free for a day.
Oh, for a day.
You can get it
that
you
day.
Got
a code for one day, but it's worth getting it for the whole year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like basically a 6-month subscription for free.
Yeah.
Is it 6 months or was it a year subscription?
6 months.
The Bush's plan worked. You got a crossover office.
For economy. Boy,
he will be a great president.
My SQL server is not. So let's say you can get anything from me,
so.
We have create a few how-tos. So there was a how to convert FLAC to AUG. There was some other program which did it. The last step was to delete your FLAC file, which I don't know why we would do that.
Save space.
Oh, yeah. Well, once when I rip it to FLAC.
The reason you made the FLAC files.
Yeah, that's what I said. How to go to ISO, how you convert image files to ISO. Sometimes you can find out.
CD to ISO.
Yeah, sometimes
you can do that instead of FLAC, just store on CD to ISO.
Yeah, but sometimes you can find image files. So there was a backup of Ubuntu server with a system imager. Another backup thing. Can we keep it going? Okay. Just checking.
Got to run. See you guys next week.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye bye. Use remote desktop on Ubuntu. That was actually, if you want to remotely control somebody's else computer, that would be for support. You know, you assemble it.
Yeah, looked actually kind of neat.
Somewhere, yeah. So you enable it, and let's say me or Byron, you can actually.
How's that different than SSH?
Yes, WDNC.
Well, a couple things. Remote desktop, it actually takes over the desktop versus SSH, where you're actually. You pretty much have your own environment. So like with remote desktop, this PC would like blank out and you get my exact desktop as it was on this PC. Whereas SSH, you know, you'd be at a command line and you could run the graphical program. It would forward all the X commands to you that you started, but I could still be using the PC.
Oh, okay. So it's quite a little different then.
Yeah.
It's like SSH, you're running
true multi-forwarding. Yeah, X-forwarding on SSH. That's a true multi-user. You can have multiple people logged into the PC doing different things at once.
Right.
Remote desktop isn't. It's tiered over the keyboard, mouse, and monitor.
But that would be, I think that it was geared for that kind of thing.
Yeah, like if I gave my friend an Ubuntu box and it broke down, I could fix it over the phone.
Mainly the biggest thing is Windows uses remote desktop. Windows comes with remote desktop by default. So if you're going to interact with all recent versions of Windows come with remote desktop.
Prove it.
And actually, I don't know.
So you could, then this could work with Windows 2, is that the...
Right, that's the big deal, because you can actually remote desktop into a Windows box, and you can use the...
If you have to use Windows, that's what it is. You have to buy, like, how many people buy a version or something? If you buy the home versions, you won't get...
XP's got them. XP doesn't. You can download. You can download it for like 2000 as well.
Yeah, there was a package for it. Yes.
I'm a big fan.
Every issue on the newsletter is controversial in this group, isn't it?
No, they said that Trent is brown. Everybody can start arguing.
I don't know, maybe up until 7, 10, 8,
it's still so crashing.
Like 8, 10, we can use it more,
but... Use remote desktop and virtual machine and Windows 2000 to connect to work. That way, work is separate from my PC, because I don't want the work network touching my PC, and they don't want my PC touching the work network, so everyone's happy.
Okay, it's 100% of work, but I don't necessarily need as much as stable.
Shall we keep on going?
Let's move on a little bit.
Let's move on. I'm happy that they have remote this stuff. And, great. There was an article, VMware Server, how to install VMware Server 1.7.
I was going to ask you.
2.0.
Huh?
Is VMware Server 2.0?
Yeah, but if you are still using 1.0, so then
use virtual ones, it's better.
Use virtual ones, yeah. In my opinion.
Okay, let's keep on moving.
This is what you're using it for. If you're running a server in the background.
If you have a server that you need to run virtual machines on, you can use a server. If you have a desktop type.
If you have more Roland's virtual box.
Virtual box is so much faster, in my opinion, than the other server. But if you need stuff to start up when a server does, yeah, run consistently.
Well, let's go to write your own scripts. Then use VirtualBox.
I don't see what the issue is with VirtualBox. You can run it headless just like you can
It just comes out.
You can download 600 megs or 18 megs, whichever you prefer.
If you go to server 2, you have to download 700 megabytes. You have to run like a whole Java server.
Tomcat is
why would you suggest VMware server over VirtualBox?
I just like my setup as
Okay, shall we keep on going?
I have only two more things. Really interesting to me because I'm going to be doing that this week, setting up UT server, either VirtualBox or
if I would be you, I would take VMware.
I would take VirtualBox.
It depends on our usage.
It's on a server. It's on a dedicated server.
VMware.
The virtualizing.
Okay,
the
next thing. Yeah, just
it's SCSI. I think it's Meteor Lake 5.
It also depends on
VMware. Here's the other thing. If you're going to be accessing your server from a different machine, the nice thing about Server 2 is you've got everything's a web interface, so you don't have to skip right over the server.
It's so slow. But it's so nice. It's so slow.
Well, the thing is that in 1.1 series, you actually had to install the, for the server, you had to install the GUI.
Yeah. The one series is totally different from the 2 series.
So that's very nice if on 2 series, I didn't have to install any GUI on it.
Exactly.
And even though it's slow.
By GUI, you mean like web interface by Tomcat.
Yeah, even though if it's slow, most likely I administer the server through SSH anyway.
Exactly.
So if I need to do, if I need to go there, well, I can suffer, a little bit.
I'm only when I say slow, I mean like if you're running Windows host, it's going to be slow if you're doing the whole console thing.
I've got a virtual server I run at VMware. I use VirtualBox on my laptop. I use VirtualBox on my other machine actually to run Google Studio. So if it's the desktop OS that I'm going to use over VirtualBox,
what the hell you are doing over there?
If you need to run Windows, use VirtualBox. If you need to run Linux based things, use VMware. So, get smoking here.
What? What are you doing?
I'm going to smoke a cigarette. I didn't know it would be so fancy.
He's making his own.
I see. Like, I'm making my own beer, so he's making his own.
Look, we should understand the making your own concept.
The do it yourself.
Are you going to make those little rubber things and pack it in? And
that's what he
has.
Yeah.
Oh, did you do the little cool thing?
Yeah, my filters.
And he's just going to
have a
little
Linux.
Yeah, Saturday?
Yep.
All right.
Are they?
Yes?
What about Arch Linux?
Arch Linux?
Yeah. Isn't Arch Linux the revolver?
Just roll your own Linux.
See you guys next week!
Drive safe.
Well, it's not as much roll your own Linux as a different idea than a release.
Yeah. It's more learning.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be implementing a different concept of having an always up-to-date.
This is what happens. You reboot, and after update, you cannot find your bootloader.
That's our Linux. It's a very learning experience. It's not directly real-world useful.
I mean, some people love it. Most likely they're very experienced and very well-versed people in that area.
That would make sense to us, man. lately I've been a big bunch of server since a little bit more updated.
I would say my statement might not, some people might not like it, but who runs Arch Linux probably don't have a kid at home. They have just way too much time for the other hand.
No, what do you think?
That's
fun. So that would be when you do have kids. Dad, come play. Hang on. Okay, it's compiling. I compiled it for 4 hours.
Well, 2 days. Let's do that. Well, maybe you are right. Yeah. Maybe my statement was not correct. Thank you.
Well, time to update. Yay! Daddy's updated.
Set those
files. Careful. We have
some Oracle stuff running.
We have three set of five servers and three servers.
Where do you work?
You don't have to say it. We are recording.
Good.
Thank you. Let's keep on moving. There is a how to capture sound with Audacity in CentOS. I guess it was more how you do the stuff.
Apparently that didn't work since Adam couldn't capture sound with Audacity.
That was
not CentOS.
Yeah, that was...
This
one is
all right, better. Never mind.
You know what, most of working just fine, though. I think it's because it's plugged into the G-Sync.
Yeah. And then how to set up VLC server with Ubuntu RDE. Heron, that was actually the last, its previous release.
So it's just a standard desktop VLC server, or is it an actual server machine VLC server?
I think it's on...
point blank turn the VLC server on.
I don't know.
Click the install VLC server.
I think it's like... I think it is, it's just because whatever they have here, that's just the client. So if I want to connect somewhere, if I want to connect to your machine, you would have to install it as a server.
Where it is actually, is it system preferences, remote desktop. There's a little remote desktop preferences that says allow every user to be on desktop.
Yeah, so that's
because I see yours whenever I look at it. Our wireless network, Adam's remote desktop.
You know, he's the man. He actually, in wherever I work, which I don't know where I work, he actually has a node on a network, and it has his name, Net. He's the man. You know, I try to get into it, and it says that I didn't have access.
So you should never advertise your name on the network. That just can never end good.
Yeah.
I got that installed.
Yeah, he was supposed to call it FarrellNet.
FarrellNet?
If you go to...
Well, that's about it for a newsletter.
It's still on the network, though.
Excuse me?
It's probably going to stay there forever.
It was there. I checked it out again. It was still there.
What it is, it's the Samba group that my virtual machine is on. So when I get into work, that it's spilled into the work network, too.
Yeah. And, of course, Samba never cleans it out.
No.
Why would it? No.
Yeah, why would it?
Yeah.
It might come back. We'll just leave it there, just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
until you reboot.
What's still there?
Oh, I, once in a while, if I connect to work through my virtual machine, and it's on my virtual machine's also.
The master browser will listen.
It's on my home Samba network, Windows groups, my Windows group will show up at work, and I just want it. Whereas everybody else calls their, never changes it, so it's a work group or whatever, it's the default. Mine I actually have set up as a work group that I hate.
Showing off your prowess.
That's right.
I can change the name of my shares.
So what I'm going to do with the network here?
We'll have it next week, I think.
Okay, I think we will have it next week. Is somebody going to bring 100 feet of Cam 5?
Don't trust me over there.
Are you
going to
bring 100
feet
of
cable?
Need to pay
right
now?
Yeah.
And then maybe we can run it
just
all the way to the
back.
Space rather than
we should probably run it.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.